Awesome. Isaiah chapter 9, let's stand. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the power of your word. I pray, God, today as we dive in just a little bit into your word, I pray, Father God, that you would cause your word to explode in our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your greatness. I thank you, God, for your goodness. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to every heart in this place today. God, I pray that you would minister deep inside of every one of us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to keep your Bible open. I like to preach a message like this every year, at least one time, because I think we often forget exactly who Jesus Christ is. And I want to make sure that we are constantly in touch with who the person of Jesus is, that we understand, because I want you to know there is always a constant attack on the person, the character, and nature of Jesus Christ. And it began a couple thousand of years ago when Jesus ascended. The battle on his divinity, the battle on who he was, the battle on his godhood began. And the attempt is to discredit him. And we see that today. The attempt to silence the word of God, to silence who Jesus is, to silence the church, that is the goal of the enemy. So it's good for us to know, to have a, if you will, a sermon on theology today for a little bit here. I won't go too long on this topic, but it's important that we know this, that we know who Jesus is, that we know that he's more than a teacher. He's not a prophet. He's not a good man. He's not what so many people try to say he is. Jesus Christ is the mighty God. I was confused this past week. Maybe some of you, I think many people were, when we saw something called the Defense of Marriage Act passed. I looked at that bill and I thought, isn't gay marriage legal in America, and hadn't it been for a number of years? And the answer to that question is yes. And after looking at it and hearing what the president said on the White House lawn that day, I realized it's not about marriage at all. This bill was an attack on religious liberty. And the bill, and even though it was the defense of marriage, I heard our president talking about transgenderism and how, you know, 8-9-year-olds should get, you know, the surgery and whatever they need to so they can switch genders. And you know, the demon-possessed crowd present there on the White House lawn was, oh, yes. I'm like, wait, isn't this about the defense of marriage? We're talking about transgenderism now. And again, it underscored in my heart, it's not about the defense of marriage. It's about discrediting Jesus Christ. It's about silencing you, silencing me, silencing the word of God, silencing the voice of morality in our nation, because that's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants us to forget about an old book and an old God. It's a prophetic and fulfillment of Psalms chapter 2, where the Bible says, why do the heathen rage? And what do they say when they rage? Get your old book off of me. Get your ancient God off of me. Get all of that stuff off of me. And that's what the heathen in Psalms 2, you can read it yourself, are raging. Our culture is raging. And demon-spewed, demonic revel rings that are trying to silence the word of God, to silence who Jesus Christ is, to silence the voice crying in a wilderness. Because the voice of truth is the voice of John, the voice of Scripture, right? When John told Herod that he should not, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife and sleep with her. That's what cost him his head. And that is the same prophetic voice today that our culture is pushing back. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear. We want to hear that whatever our sin is will be approved and accepted. And you'll notice this, and you've seen this. It's not enough that it's legal. It's already legal. They want you and I to shut up. They want morality shut up. They want the Bible shut up. We don't want to hear it anymore. So I just want to remind you, because I see everybody gets a little pass on their interpretation of who Jesus is. I see all kinds of memes that are hilarious. I don't want to go into sharing what they are or whatever, but you see them on social media and everybody calls Jesus their own thing. Well, he's actually a liberal and he's a revolutionary and he's this and he's that. And I want to tell you, all of that is really not true. Remember, Jesus came and said, "You've heard that it's been said, you should not commit adultery." But I want to make it a little bit tighter circle. If you look at a woman and have lust in your heart with her, you've already committed adultery. I want to tell you, it's important that we know who Jesus Christ is. Why? Because to die for him, to live for him, to serve him, we better know who he really is. He's not a baby in the manger any longer. He is God seated on the right hand of the Father. And I want to give you some scripture this morning. We started with Isaiah chapter 9, and I think that's a fabulous passage. It's a prophetic word from the prophet about who would sit on the throne of David. There was a child being born. There was a child coming who was going to fill the role of Messiah. And he would be all of these things and all of that powerful list. And you can see the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. I selected Mighty God today because that seems to be one of the things that's really under attack about who Jesus is. A lot of people will say, "Oh, Jesus can give you peace. Jesus can give you comfort. Oh, he's a great counselor. You can get a lot of good." But people, if this is the dividing line, it really is he Mighty God or not? I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is the Mighty God. So therefore, I think it's valuable to us to be reminded why Jesus is the Mighty God. He's not a God. There's some cults out there that retranslate some verses in the Bible, and especially John 1:1, that says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God." And they add an A, and the capital G becomes a little g. It's very subtle, but what is it? An attempt to say Jesus isn't Mighty God. He's just a God, little g. He's not a prophet, not a great moral teacher, not a messenger from God. He is Mighty God. I want to show you three quick things this morning. Number one, Jesus is Mighty God. Why? Because he existed from the beginning. Jesus existed from the beginning. I just referenced it here, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Are y'all with me? And the Word was what? Fully God. And the Word was with God in the beginning. And all things were created by him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. And in him is life. And In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it. Revelation 22:13, Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Jesus reminds us himself. We are reminded in Scripture, we're not dealing with an ordinary man. We're not dealing with somebody who was a good teacher, a good prophet, or a good moral person, or whatever, whatever. We are dealing with the Mighty God. That is who Jesus Christ is, period. The Bible also tells us, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son is already condemned. Salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. There's not a multiplicity of ways. Sorry, Oprah Winfrey. There's not many ways to heaven. All religions do not lead to God. That's a false doctrine called universalism, where everyone's religion will end up in heaven. No. That is not what Jesus taught. That's not what the Bible teaches. There is but one way to God. It's the Mighty God, Jesus Christ. He who has the Son has life. If you don't have the Son, you're already condemned. That's what the Word says. He's existed from the beginning. This is restated by Paul in Colossians 1:15. Talking about Jesus, he says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For all things in heaven and on earth were created by him. All things. whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions, whether principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. You want to know who Jesus is? He created everything, and all things that were created through him and for him. That's why Jesus is mighty God. He's existed from the beginning, yet he had no beginning. He always said, if you want to boggle your brain for a minute, imagine no beginning. We can't. We struggle with that. Our brains are finite. It's hard to think about something that doesn't have a beginning. We can kind of imagine eternity and going on and on and on and never dying. That's a lot easier to kind of get a brain around. But to get your brain around the fact that God had no beginning, that's who he is. Paul continues, he himself is before all things, and all things are held together in him. Colossians 1:17, verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, as well as the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he himself may become first in all things. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in the Son. Verse 20. And through him, to reconcile all things to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So some things we can glean from this passage. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture today, but I want to connect this for you. I want you to see and understand that Jesus is clearly enunciated and talked about in the Bible as being the mighty God. Because I've heard people, I've talked to the cults, I've talked to people in false religions, and they all have their talking points. And you get past their talking points, they're pretty weak, because they don't really know often as much as they think. But something you often hear is Jesus never claimed to be God in the Bible. You ever heard that? Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, we'll take a peek at that in a minute. But here's what Paul says about him. He's the image of the invisible God. God is invisible. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He says he was resurrected from the dead. He says he created all things. All things are created through him and for him. Paul says this in Colossians 1:15 through 20. Jesus Christ is before all things. There was nothing before him. He holds all things together. He is the beginning. And the fullness of God dwells in him. I realize we love, and rightfully so, John 14:8, where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. But I want to tell you, Colossians 1:20 says the same exact thing pretty much. Only through him can we be reconciled to God. Only through Jesus. So I just want to kind of connect this logical dot here. When we say that Jesus existed from the beginning, what does this imply? All right, I'm going to hit another heresy. There's another heresy that people say, well, Jesus was created. No, Jesus was not created. How many know that? Jesus was not created. Jesus was not created when he was born of Mary. He already existed. So side note here, what does this teach us about when life begins? Did Jesus become an embryo? Did a God-created sperm and an egg come together? We don't know exactly, but all we know this is Jesus never ceased to exist. He went from God on the throne to baby in the womb. When Mary found herself with child, Jesus never stopped existing. He wasn't created in that moment, but what we see in that moment is what we call the incarnation. That's a big fancy word that means God became man. Jesus, while he was on earth, hear me today, he was fully God and he was fully man at the same exact time. He didn't just become human and stop being God. He was God the entire time he was here, and he was fully human while he was here until he resurrected and was glorified at the right hand of his Father. This is what we know about Jesus Christ as is revealed to us in Scripture. So therefore, this implies obviously that he is God. He's eternally existent. He was before all things. He's 100% God. While he was on earth, he was also 100% human being. But at the same time, he created all things. All things were created through him, by him, and for him. He's a mighty God. So Jesus is the mighty God because he was before all things. Jesus is also the mighty God because he is revealed as the I Am. So those people that say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God anywhere in Scripture. All right. Let's dive into that for a moment. I want you to open your Bible, and I know I'm asking you to read a lot of Scripture today. If you don't have your Bible, you can follow along here on the screen. But I want you to turn to John 8:48 through 59. Why is this important? Because you need to find it in your own Bible. You need it marked in your Bible. If you're going to defend your faith, you've got to know it. You can't say, well, my pastor. No, don't refer anyone to me. I got my own battles. I got my own set of people. I can't slay your monsters, right? I can't talk to your husband or your neighbor. I'll never even encounter them, right? For maybe or maybe not. But you encounter them every day. They are people that you can deal directly with. That's why you have got to be able to talk to your wife, your kids, your cousin, your uncle, you fill in the blank, your boss, whoever it is. You've got to be able to give an account for your faith. This is why we're taking time not to talk about Christmas in a fluffy sense today, but talking about the fact that Jesus is the mighty God who changes lives and takes away the sin of the world. We've got to know this, my friends. This is important. John 8:48. The Judeans replied, aren't we correct in saying that you are Samaritan and are possessed by a demon? That's a great conversation starter with Jesus, right? And Jesus answered, I am not possessed by a demon, but I honor my Father, and yet you dishonor me. I am not trying to get praise for myself. There is one who demands it, and he also judges. I tell you the solemn truth. If anyone obeys my teaching, he will never see death. And the Judeans responded. This is a really important passage in the New Testament. This is why I have you turn in your Bible, highlight it electronically, underline it if you have a paper Bible. This whole thing, it's important to know this. Then the Judeans responded, now we know you're possessed by a demon. Both Abraham and the prophets died, and yet you say, if anyone obeys my teaching, he will never experience death. You aren't greater than our father Abraham who died, are you? And the prophets died too. Who do you claim to be? Hear the question? Who do you claim to be? And Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory is worthless. The one who glorifies me is my Father, about whom you people say, he is our God. Yet, Jesus ratchets it up here, yet you do not know him, but I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. Yeah, Jesus never offended anybody, did he? Never. Everything was rainbows and fluffiness and everybody just do what you want, right? I'm a revolutionary. No, he wasn't. Jesus wasn't a revolutionary. Not in that sense anyway. But I do know him and I obey his teaching. Your father Abraham was overjoyed to see my day and he saw it and was glad. Then the Judeans replied, you are not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, I tell you the solemn truth. Before Abraham came into existence, I am. Now, if you're a Jewish leader in 30 AD looking for an excuse to crucify somebody for blasphemy, you just got it. The very next verse. Then what did they do? They picked up stones to throw at him. They were going to kill him right there. But Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple area. It wasn't his time yet. And it's interesting. We don't know what that means. Did Jesus just disappear? I kind of think Jesus went. He's like, I'm going to have to rely on my Godhead here, my Godhood here, because my humanity can't get me out of here quick enough. So here I'm going to revert back. Jesus hid himself
I want to go back to verse 58. Before Abraham came into existence, I am. Ponder this for a second. When Jesus dropped this on the Jewish leaders here, the Judeans, it says in the NET version of the Bible, he knew full well what he was declaring. And so did they by their response. Let me give you a little background, okay, on how... Let me give you a little background on how powerful and how holy this word is that Jesus used. When Moses first encountered God in the wilderness, God sent him to free his people from slavery, right? Moses was going through the desert and he said, that's weird. There's a bush on fire over there and it's not being consumed. It probably wouldn't be too unusual to see things catching on fire in a hot desert. But the fact that it was burning and not being consumed, that was interesting to Moses. He walked over to it and suddenly he realized he was in the presence of God. And the Lord, you remember the scripture. He said, take off your shoes, Moses. You're on holy ground. And God spoke to Moses and said, I want you to go free my people. Lead them out of slavery. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you signs. I'm going to walk with you through this. And God began to lay out this plan. And Moses was like, I can't, Lord. I don't know. I'm not able. And the Lord said, I am with you. And God laid all this out. And Moses asked the million-dollar question, who shall I say sent me? Because you see, the Egyptians in ancient Near East culture, this was very common. Your kings were considered gods. They worshiped the kings as gods. This even carried on to the Roman Empire, where the Roman emperors were treated as gods. They're the voice of God, the voice of Zeus, the voice, right? They were like if they weren't God, they were trained by him, right? And they gave him special weapons and all of that. And so Moses, going into this court where he was familiar with in Egypt, he's like, I'm going to need a little capital here. I need to know a name that can trump every other name. And exactly what God calls himself is not fully known. Jews over centuries have debated and wondered exactly what God said here. But our best interpretation, this is what the Lord said to Moses. He said, tell them that I am sent you. I am. In the English, we get this sense that there's a God with no beginning, no end. You can't stop him. You can't. He's the irresistible force and the immovable object all rolled into one. I am. Tell them I am has sent you. So this I am English, the Hebrew that comes from that, the Hebrew as it is written, is called the Tetramigran. It's an abbreviation of a word that they don't fully know and a name they don't fully know, but this is the name that God revealed himself as. And the Tetragrammaton is such a holy name. These four Hebrew letters are form such a holy word that Jews, when Jesus was talking to those Jews and the leaders there in that passage we just read, this is a word they wouldn't even say. When they wrote it, they abbreviated it, and it just became this abbreviation. And at Jesus' time, no good Jew would say this name, would even hardly write this name, because this name was holy. The only person who could use this name is the person to whom it belonged.
And this is what Jesus said before Abraham was. You guys know it is this right here. Yahweh. So if anyone says, well, Jesus never claimed to be God in the Bible, maybe what Bible are you reading?
It don't get no more explicit than this. So much so they wanted to kill him. Why? Because Jesus said, I am. Who are you? You're not even 50 years old yet. Who do you think you are? You weren't around when Abraham was, or the prophets, and Jesus said before them ever existed. Any of those guys. Yahweh, I am. Jesus Christ is the mighty God. Never let there be any doubt. People wonder, why did Jesus get crucified? Because he claimed to be God. That statement is silly, and that it belies the fact of the history of Scripture. They killed Jesus because they accused him of blaspheming. What was he saying? A blasphemy is somebody claiming to be God. But he was. And that's why we can finish the story. Did they kill Jesus? Yeah. But not really. Long enough for him to go down into the bowels of the earth, the Bible says, and set some prisoners free. Long enough to fulfill prophecy, as Jonah will be 3 days in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will be 3 days in the bowels of the earth. And then the Son of Man burst forth on the third day. It terrified the religious leaders. Guards, come here. What happened? Oh, earthquake, angels, boom. Shiny people show up. Jesus is gone. Okay, this is how afraid they were. Okay, see, now they're going back. They're relaying the tapes. This is the man who said, I am. This is the man who claimed to be God. This is the man who said, you can destroy this temple and I'll raise it back up in 3 days. Now it's making sense, because these guys weren't dummies, right? They understood suddenly, like, okay, guards, come here. Here's your money. Keep your mouth shut. The disciples stole the body. That's your story. Say anything different and we will track you down and pull your teeth out one at a time right before we kill you. I added the pull the teeth out because that sounded extra painful. I'm old enough, death doesn't even sound painful. It's like other stuff is worse to me. Like, we're going to cut you between the fingers. No, kill me. Get it over with. We're going to pull your toenails off one at a time. No, hang me on the noose. Jesus was the mighty God. Final point, I'm closing. How do we know Jesus is mighty God? Because Jesus is a mighty warrior. It's possible when you study Isaiah 9, it's possible that mighty God could be translated in the Hebrew as God is a warrior. It's possible. That makes sense considering that Jesus is the exact image of the invisible God, which means Jesus being God is a mighty warrior. We know God revealed himself as a warrior when Moses, that we talked about, delivered the people out of Israel and they crossed the Red Sea. Remember, Miriam, Moses' brother, began to sing a song and everybody joined in. And you know the first line of the song? The Lord is a warrior. You know what the psalmist wrote multiple times in the book of Psalms? The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is mighty in battle. This is what makes a mighty God. An ancient Near East thought, as I mentioned a moment ago, it was often thought that kings were either gods or trained by gods. So the Israelites, they were hoping and praying and believing for a Messiah that would be God. And this is what Isaiah is prophesying. There is a son that will be given, a child that will be born. And yes, Israelites, people of the planet, hear me. He will be a mighty warrior. Proof that he's God. Proof that he's a mighty God because he's a mighty warrior. In fact, if you look at archaeological websites, you can see artistic depictions, ancient ones, where the kings are getting, like in Egypt especially, the kings are being trained by gods for battle, and the gods are giving them special weapons and they're giving them favor on the battlefield. And the Israelites knew that their coming king would be a mighty warrior, a mighty God, because he was that strong. The Lord is a warrior. Miriam continued her song. As they crossed the Red Sea, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider were thrown into the sea. The Lord our God, my strength and my song, he's now become my victory. Someone ought to put this to music and sing a song here in today's world, right? That's what the song. Oh, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. Yes, it's a good one too. That's exactly who they thought he was. I love Psalms 3:7. If you're a fan of The Chosen and you've watched the latest episode, I'm going to spoil episode 2 for you because I think it comes out today, doesn't it? At the very end, that's okay, you'll have to love me. I ain't going to spoil it too bad, but I mean, obviously you know the story anyway, right? It's not going to be a big surprise. But when Peter and the disciples were gathered, Jesus had just sent them out to cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. That's a really cool part of, that's probably one of the strongest parts of the entire episode. But they get in a circle on the morning they leave. Remember, this is brand new to them. Like, Jesus, you want us to cast out demons? You want us to heal the sick? And Jesus said, sure, I give you my authority. You can do it. And they were a little bit reticent. They're like, okay, but if you're sure. But then they were coming to Jesus and said, but I've got this problem and I've got this weakness. Jesus, we're not you. And Jesus said, I am giving you my authority. So the disciples get in a circle. And Peter said, let me pray a prayer over us before we depart. And he quotes from Psalms 3:7. I love this. And the verse is, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek and you break the teeth of the wicked. Because God is a warrior. That's who he is. I've probably shared this before, but I remember when I was in Oklahoma, we had many missionary friends, and one missionary was from Africa, and he came and he was preaching to our church, and he said, you know, I had something very unusual happen to me a few weeks ago. He said, I was preaching at a church and someone gave a very odd sounding message in tongues. And he said, I instantly recognized it as one of the dialects I deal with in Africa. I'm not sure what part of Africa he was in, but he said it was like a clicking language. And he said, I recognize that. And he said, I could speak a little bit of that. He's obviously not very well, but he said, I could understand it and understand what this person was saying. And I looked at this white face here in this congregation. I guess he was in Oklahoma. And he said, how would that person know that language? Well, they didn't. It was a message in tongues given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And how many know it takes faith to do that? It would take extra faith to click. I said, Lord, I'll do any message, but if you're going to ask me to click and make sounds with that, you know, I have to know that's you, God. I have to know. And the interpretation came forth, and the missionary was like, very cool. And the man who gave the message, he went up and met him afterwards and confirmed that he'd never even been to Africa, didn't know the language. And the man said, what, you understood what I said? And he goes, yeah, I did. And he said, what was I saying? And he said, you were giving praise to a God who can strike a blow, and his enemies are unable to return the blow to him. Because our God's a warrior. I am. He can strike a blow and no one can hit him back. You ever play tag back in elementary? It just keeps going. Tag, you're it. Imagine God. He's the God who tags and no one can get him back. That's why the Lord says, right, this all makes sense. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. This is why we forgive and release people. We don't pursue vengeance. We don't pursue vengeful thoughts. Why? We release that because the Lord will take care of us. Because of whatever we try to do, number one, it's going to harm us and harm our soul. Number two, it's just going to bring somebody back on us, a tit for tat. You all know how that works. But if we let God take care of it, we serve a God who strikes a blow and no one can strike him back. That's how mighty and awesome he is. I want to close by reading Revelation to you. Because someone might ask, well, where in the New Testament is Jesus a warrior? Right? He's a Lamb of God. Right? He's the Good Shepherd. He is the door. He is the bread of life. He is the light. I mean, these are all wonderful things. But when we look at Revelation 19, Verse 11, right? It's tough when you learn the Bible in King James and then you switch to NIV and then you switch to seven other translations. And so when I read scripture, I often want to go back to what I learned when I was like 5 and 6 years old. And they're like, wait, I'm not back in King James anymore. And so I have to double check my reading sometimes here. But Revelation 19:11, this is Jesus in his form right now. And then I saw heaven opened, and here came a white horse, and the one riding on it called Faithful and True. And with justice he judges, and he goes to war. His eyes are like fiery flame, and there are many diadem crowns on his head. He has the name written that no one knows except himself. He is dressed in clothing dipped in blood. And he is called the Word of God. This is Jesus. The armies that are in heaven, dressed in white, clean, fine linen, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth extends a sharp sword, so that with it he can strike the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod, and he stomps the winepress of the fury, of the furious wrath of God, the all-powerful. He has a name written on his clothing and on his thigh. I always thought, man, this maybe it's a tattoo because it's on his thigh. I don't know if that's on his cloak or right here. I don't know what it is. I don't mean to blow anyone's theology. I don't know. I'm just saying. It's on his thigh, all right? So you figure out how it got there and what it is. It's irrelevant because his name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. There's no one before him, no one higher than him. This is the Jesus that we are celebrating this Christmas. This is the Jesus that we live for every day. This is the Jesus that we serve nonstop. This is the Jesus that we lay our lives down for. This is not just a historical figure. This is not just a good man, a good teacher, or a prophet. This is the mighty God we are talking about. It's who he revealed himself as. He's eternally existent. He's before all things. He's above all things. All things were created by him, through him, and for him. Jesus Christ, the mighty God. And as Misty Edwards sings so well, he's not a baby in the manger anymore. He's not even the broken man on the cross. I don't like him hanging on a crucifix still. It's okay, but that's not who he is anymore. I wouldn't put a baby on a manger around my neck either. I wouldn't put a broken man on the cross around my neck either. Why? That's not who he is now. This is who he is now. He has fire in his eyes. He's got a sword coming out of his mouth. It is his word. He's going to strike the nations. All these people reveling, celebrating filth, immorality, unless they repent and turn from their sin, they're going to face a fearsome sight one day. When God comes and executes judgment on this planet, that day is coming. See, we forget Jesus is the bread of life, he's the door, he's the way, he's the good shepherd, he's all of those things, but we also forget he is the righteous judge. This is the God we serve.
This is the God that we celebrate becoming a man on December the 25th. We celebrate the birth of the God-man, Jesus Christ, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. This is who Jesus Christ is. Please, never forget it. Never forget who He is. Never forget who He claimed to be. Never forget who His closest friends claimed for Him to be. Peter, Paul, all of His associates, they all backed that up. How He was God. Read John 1:1 again. Go back and read John 8 where Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Go get your Bible and underline Colossians 1:15 through 20 and see that Jesus Christ, according to the Apostle Paul, who encountered Him on the Damascus Road, said, this Jesus is the mighty God. Let's stand and lift our hands to Him. Let's give Him some praise right now. Let's give Him some honor right now. Lord, we praise You.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. This message and other resources are available at destinydayton.com.